Welcome to Mining Now. We are filming these episodes from PDAC. We have a very interesting company on. We have two guests. We have their operations manager, Corey McCarthy, and we have their inventor and innovation manager, Michael Dineen. And this is Zero Trip Innovations. So I last night before filming, I went down the rabbit hole to learn about the company, and I got a whole bunch of questions answered about how drilling is done when you need to change directions. So they're going to even expand on it more. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Great to have Zero Trip Innovations on.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
The name, just quickly, Corey, what's the Zero Trip Innovations? Where does the name come from?
So it comes from taking less trips in and out of the borehole. So the original wedging products available on the market have multiple trips in and out of the borehole. So you got to pull the drill string out in and out several times. So our wedge runs in front of the drill bit. So you don't have to trip in and out of the hole to install it. So that's where the name Zero Trip came from.
Before we get into Zero Trip, and I've got lots of questions. I've got a lot of questions about the company, but I just want to get into both of your backgrounds a little bit. Corey, let's start with you. What's your background? How did you get into, not just into Zero Trip, but into the drilling industry?
So my family business is Priority Drilling, which is the biggest drilling contractor in the UK and Ireland and in Western Europe. So I've basically been working for that company since I left college. And I actually was originally working as an offsider with Mick, and he was the driller when he came up with this idea. So my background is in drilling contracting. So that's how I've segued into this, where we've invented this product, and now we're commercializing it and selling it on the market.
Wow.
So yeah. Zero Trip basically markets a product that was developed in Priority Drilling.
Yeah, when I was I
originally started way back in the 80s as a helper and progressed to a driller. And in the mid-90s, basically, we started directional drilling in Tara Mines. Tara Mines insisted on Priority Drilling to adapt and learn new things about getting more accurate information down boreholes. So in the mid-90s, actually March 95, we started directional drilling. And basically, I was more of a victim rather than a volunteer to take on the task of trying to introduce this method of more accurate drilling. So basically what it's all about is staying in the same position, drilling multiple boreholes off one motor hole.
We've got a video, and I actually want to, if you can, you won't be actually watching the video on the screen, but just we'll try to match it up with best we can later. I want to walk through, but just quickly for some context. So when did, Corey, can you just confirm again, so when did Priority Drilling get involved with Michael? You were working with him and then sort of realized there was an opportunity, or how did that relationship evolve?
Well, Michael here was working as a driller for Priority Drilling.
Oh, okay.
And I was working as his offsider when he came up with this idea. So that's why we say that we're different to these other directional companies, because we're drillers that are designing products for drillers.
So we have first-hand experience of what's happening in a borehole and what changes, what needs to be adapted, because the original equipment that came over from the States was not really suitable for the ground conditions we were drilling. So it was extremely stressful at the very beginning. So we needed to adapt and change equipment. We're still adapting and changing the product to the ground conditions we're encountering, even to this very day. We're making modifications to adapt to different ground conditions. So it's evolving the whole time.
Yeah, could you just give us some context?
Once we had the product ready, when was it, 2015, 2016?
Yeah, well, basically I came up with this thing in the back of a cereal box back in 2012, and nobody believed me, and they all thought I was mad. You know, there's no way, you're only going wasting money, wasting time.
Yeah.
So I actually went off in a bit of a bit of a voyage on my own first to find people that would, a machine shop or whatever, to go help me out to develop this. So in about 2015, when I got a bit of airtime from Priority Drilling, we first tested the wedge in a few boreholes, you know. So that was a complete learning curve. But the big advantage was we had the boreholes to test it out,
right,
and to try out the piece of equipment, you know.
Yeah.
Because day one, like, this was never a done deal at the very start. There was a lot of trial and error. So
yeah,
I suppose the initial troubles I had was I designed this to go down a borehole. I didn't design it to come up a borehole. But in the drilling industry, you basically have to cover all angles. And that was a bit of a testing time. But we've developed it over the years. Yeah.
Go ahead, Corey.
Once we had the wedge working well in the operations of Priority Drilling, we began to see the commercial value of it and that we should be able to sell it to other drilling companies.
Right.
Let's talk about our heavy industry world tour brought to you by Savannah Equipment, supplying mining equipment worldwide. And Corporate Traveler Canada, helping companies travel the globe simpler, faster, easier. We are heading to events across North America and Australia and filming episodes on location. Email us at info@crownsman.com to be part of Crownsman's Heavy Industry World Tour. Solving the complexities of operational efficiency, safety and compliance, and asset management in mining can be a significant headache. Madison Technologies understands these challenges, and with over 3 decades of industrial communications experience, they're not just a supplier, but a transformative partner in digitization. Madison Technologies accelerates the digital journey of their clients, and together with global technology vendors, they deliver practical, real-world solutions. Visit madison.tech to discover how they can help you unlock future potential with Mining 4.0 solutions. Orica Digital Solutions seamlessly connects customers' physical and digital worlds so they can readily understand and optimize operations at every step of the value chain, from exploration to processing. Whether deployed individually or as a whole, Orica Digital Solutions technologies deliver intelligence for open cut and underground mines to make more precise and faster decisions. With a complete, timely, and accurate picture, operations can adapt to improve safety, drive productivity, reduce costs, and environmental impacts. To learn more about Orica Digital Solutions, visit orica.com/digital solutions today.
Yeah, this I want. There's two things I want to get back to. It was the development. I actually want to hear a little bit of the story of it, and I also want to talk a little bit about ground conditions, which is, there's a case study link that I want to cover in that. But before we do that, Michael, can you just walk us through? And we'll, again, we'll bring up this video. Can you just walk us through what the zero trip wedge actually does, like, and how did, like, install it, how it works, everything sort of in detail?
The wedge I was using originally back in the mid 90s was known as a Halro wedge. So it basically, you had to go down, insert a plug. So you had to lower all your rods down the borehole, insert a plug, plug the hole, come back up with all your rods, take them all out. This could take a whole shift depending on what depth you're in. Next shift, you go down with a timber. It was a special American softwood timber so that it expands in the hole. Mm. And basically, you come back up and you go down with a steel wedge. It's a pretty basic tool. It's like a spade. And when you orientate it to wherever you want to go, what direction, you insert it into the timber, and you had some brass rivets holding your dropping bar onto the wedge, and you shear those rivets by pushing down on the timber. And that was okay, wedge set. Then back up the hole you come again with your drill rods, and you put on your core barrel. And your core barrel is a piece of equipment that drills off the wedge into a new borehole. So you establish a new borehole at wherever you set this wedge at. So it is very labor intensive. You could be 4-5 shifts doing this. But the most frustrating thing was, I suppose, in the late 90s, I took over as foreman back in the project in Ireland. And basically, we had issues with sensitive ground conditions. When you're tripping rods up and down a borehole where the ground is very unstable, what can happen when you lower your timber plug in the borehole and come back up. You can destabilize the borehole, and when you're going back down with your steel anchor or spade, you can find a lot of cave sitting in top of your piece of wood. And next thing, your spade doesn't insert that well into the wood. It has no anchoring system to keep the wedge against the back wall. When I say the back wall, this long, this is about 4.5 meters long, this tapered piece of steel. And the biggest issue in drilling, because I'm a driller, is that you go to change your bit, and when you go back down after replacing your drill bit, you go back down, next thing the wedge is out across the hole and you can't get past it. So umpteen issues used to happen with the Halro wedge. Grand, if ground conditions are good, no problem. But if ground conditions are sensitive, absolute nightmare, can be a nightmare. So that's where the zero trip wedge came about. But there was two, let me go back a small bit further. Back in the 60s, there was two systems basically competing against each other. You had the Bort long ear, which had a spike for pulling a tube. Now, drillers will know this. General public will say, what the hell am I talking about? But you had a spike, a spear, and that was the system that, you know, took over. But there was another system called the quad latch. A Christogen quad latch system. And this Christogen quad latch system was the key to me to developing the zero trip wedge, because it allowed me to put an orientation receiver for a camera inside a quad latch. And I could then find where my position was, my orientation in the borehole. Now, when I designed this originally and brought it to the market, people couldn't understand how the heck did I know where the wedge was facing, all right? Because when you go set traditional wedges, everybody was going down the borehole with non-magnetic chrome pipes. So you knew you'd normally take 6 meters of a non-magnetic rod down behind your wedge so that you could drop in your camera and see where the borehole is facing, what angle, where you want to go. So everybody was doing that. That was the industry norm. But I said, you're going down, taking a survey of information you know already. You've already completed the borehole. You've taken a survey from the bottom to the top, and you've decided where you want to kick off to the way where you want to put the wedge. So you know the magnetic azimuth, or you know the azimuth, you know the incline, you know all that information. So from directional drilling, in my experience, you have two options on a camera. You have magnetic north, and you have what's known as GR angle. GR angle is grid rotation. So its starting point of measurement is the high side of the hole, right? So you still with me?
Yeah.
So the high side of the hole is always equal to the azimuth of the hole, right? So magnetic north starts from magnetic north. Now the two will end up in the same area readings, but they start from two different points. One starts from magnetic north, one starts from the high side of the hole, which is equal to the azimuth of the hole. So I was able to determine where the wedge was facing with steel rods in the hole. And that was the big difference. I could determine where the wedge was without having non-magnetic rods in the hole. And I discovered that from having directional drilling experience over the years. So that was the first key point of doing that. And all competitors, putting in your anchors, putting in your plugs, they all mechanically installed a piece of equipment by rotating and tightening an anchor in the hole. I came up with something different. I decided to drill through the wedge and put in an anchoring system based on hydraulic force, so that water's in the borehole. So I used water to set the anchors of this wedge, which is a way more reliable, and I can apply massive force on it. So that was the key difference to this wedge to any other wedge. I was actually using a connection mechanism which was drilled straight through the wedge back into the core barrel. I replaced my tube with a dropping kit. And once I install that wedge, I can take out that dropping kit with the wire line and replace it with my tube and start drilling straight away. I can quite easily, at 1,000 meters, install a wedge and have core in the box in 8 hours, no problem. Normally, this could take you 4 or 5 shifts, and you're not guaranteed. The other key design, because of my experience with the problems of other wedges, I designed an anchor. It was known as the fifth anchor. And this would be your typical anchor section here. So we'd have your four anchors at the base of the anchoring section, but put a fifth anchor further up. And the idea of the fifth anchor is that this is in line with the tapered section of a wedge. So without breaking any cameras, this is a 3D printed version of a wedge. And this guy here, we'll put him together for you. And now, this anchor section here is in line with the tapered section.
Right.
Right. And we put it down in two pieces. So for ease of putting things together, guys on the drill rigs, we put it down in two pieces. The original wedge used to come in one piece, which was very awkward and difficult to manhandle. Now, this guy, 1 second here, I'll move this about. The key components here is you have your fifth anchor here. There's a key here that locks the two pieces together. Mm-hmm. And this is at the back. This is at the front. And basically, this fifth anchor here pushes the wedge against the back wall, as I call here, at the back of the wedge.
Right, yeah.
And it keeps your wedge against the back wall while you're drilling past the wedge, keeps it there the whole time.
No matter ground conditions.
And that is a massive difference to any other product in the market. There is that fifth anchor.
Brookville Equipment Corporation is a world-class American manufacturer specializing in underground mining and tunneling equipment for transportation of materials and personnel. Producing rail-mounted and rubber tire equipment, Brookville's vehicles are designed to meet the demanding needs of their customers' unique applications. Brookville also offers contract manufacturing solutions for your already engineered designs while fabricating it into a small component or a final product. You can see their full list of capabilities at brookvillecorp.com, or you can contact them at 814-849-2000. Hey, mining enthusiasts, registration for CIM Connect 2024 Vancouver from May 12th to 15th is now open. Last year, this convention had over 6,800 participants from 60 countries, with 1,796 delegates, 702 booths, and 320 presentations. Secure your spot and register now at convention.cim.org. CIM Connect 2024, where quality and innovation define the experience. With Fender Dunlop, you know you are getting the best conveyor belting in the market. That's because they ensure the integrity of their conveyor belting by monitoring each step of the manufacturing process in their North American facilities. Focused attention is given to each belting order to guarantee that they produce a belt that will assist the customer in reducing operation costs, maximizing uptime, and improving revenue. Visit FenderDunlopAmericas.com to learn more.
Michael, and that's especially true for ground conditions. Right, because ground conditions would be a problem with the wedge moving, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because when you're tripping up and down, is that you can quite easily get cave or anything at the back of the wedge.
Yeah.
So if the wedge moves out
just a little
any bit at all, material can fall in behind the wedge, and next thing you have a problem. As whereas this wedge, once it's set day one, that's it. It's back against the back wall, and there's no coming out from that, you know?
Right.
So that's an example there. We have, over the years, developed different types of anchors for different ground conditions.
Okay.
So we're adapting and adjusting the whole time. We're now setting these wedges in the hardest rock you can imagine up in Scandinavia. Basically, where it was thought originally couldn't be done. We're drilling off in hardest of granites.
Wow.
We're heat treating the wedges now. Nobody heat treats wedges. We heat treat wedges now that we can drill off in the hardest formations possible. And everybody will stay a million miles away from a wedge because they could never install them in extreme hard rock conditions. But we're doing that now to this day. So we're modifying and adapting the whole time, all because we have the experience of using them ourselves in our own drilling division. We have that experience.
Yeah.
We use quite a lot of these ourselves. You know, we've installed these now to depths of 1,800 meters. We supply them down to Africa. There's a couple of clients down in Africa. One particular client has installed a zero trip wedge at 2,980 meters. That's our record at the moment. They've surpassed us. And this was to troubleshoot a borehole they got into trouble with, where they had left some equipment in the hole, created an obstacle, and they needed to get past it. And it was put in at 2,980 meters, which is a fair achievement.
That's an achievement.
To do that, and to do that in a very short space of time. And that saves thousands. Time is money on a drill site. You know, so it's very important.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Like I said, I went down the rabbit hole yesterday. You explaining it, there's a lot that I missed trying to sort of understand it. But I wanted to ask, Corey, the business development side of taking this to market, what has that been like? I'm always kind of fascinated when you have like Mike was saying, this was clearly a problem that drillers had run into for years. I think you said the first wedges were in the 60s, Michael?
Yeah, wedges have been there way back a long time, you know.
So you had this issue.
They never really developed for a long time, right. 80s, 90s. It was just, you know, a troubleshooting product.
Yeah.
But because of directional drilling, that's where the wedge really took off, because people wanted more accurate information. So they wanted to make more use of the existing boreholes they have drilled. So the wedge came more and more into play. And in a project we had back in Ireland, the borehole started getting deeper and deeper the whole time. And the client was more interested in more accurate information the whole time, you know.
Yeah.
So we were adapting and responding to the client's needs.
So,
okay,
for Corey,
in regards to the business development of the product,
yeah,
it has been quite challenging because these previous products have been unreliable, and you know, the wedging has kind of been given a bad name.
Yeah,
so wedging is kind of perceived as risky in the market.
It would be, and it takes a long time to change a mindset. Something that's very cheap. Your typical steel wedge was quite cheap, but it was very laborsome to and costly to install. So it's very hard to get away from that mindset, because a lot of the time the contractors paid by time. So they'll pay by time, and the product itself is cheap. This is not a cheap product to make. We make this in Ireland ourselves, because quality is everything. We just didn't want to get the name ruined by too many manufacturers coming in, because it's a very precise piece of equipment. There's a lot of machining in it, but it does the job. And that's the most important thing. It does the job.
So how to then, when you're taking it to market, and that's, you know, it's a good, you know, once you paint that picture of what this product is and how it changes, I mean, it's pretty clear. You've done testing, there's case studies. But what's some of the feedback you're getting from the industry, Corey? Like even just some of those questions, you know, I was actually just reading this morning about changing people's minds, or trying to if someone's set in a way to try what it's like to try to get them to do it differently.
You got to keep educating people. You got to keep telling the story of the product, and you got to just keep your marketing going, keep your social media going, telling everyone about what you're doing. And the more people see what, you know, the more you're working, the more clients you're taking on, gives people more confidence to work with you and to give you the time to explore.
See,
there's a lot of substitute products in the market. Like there's stuff that almost does the same stuff,
Right.
So it's like you're competing with lots of different kind of products and services.
But like it's good in that it's drilling contractors that are using this, and it's hard initially to get them to come on board. But once they come on board, they never turn back.
It's one of those
things. This is the key. And we have the biggest drilling contractors in the world using this product.
Yeah.
And we're in several different continents.
Yeah, that's my next question. Is about the onboarding, is the training for it. I was going through a sheet of yours and I saw you were even doing like VR training. What is the process for anybody watching this and they go, okay, I want to learn a little bit more about this. So you know, they do some education, they go on your website and what have you, but then it's time to like kind of take it a step further. What is the actual onboarding of and getting the support look like for, you know, the first time user of the system?
Yeah, usually you want to find the guy at the drilling contractor that does the directional drilling or the wedging, and he has to kind of champion the product in that company for you. And
so like Corey has an awful lot of videos, demos on how the product is installed. And then you have a clown like me that'll answer a phone at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when they're down in Peru or down in Mexico or in Russia, out in Uzbekistan, looking for the technical support. All right, okay, something is not right here. We're not sure of. And this clown here is at the end of a phone to answer it at any time, you know. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey with a lot of people, you know. And
technology today has changed a lot. Like once you have like 4G or 5G on site, they can basically video call us. We can check the setups. We can make sure everything's okay, and then they can put it down the hole. So like Mick was saying, we've been on calls.
Yeah,
setting these wedges for people all over the world, and even people that can't even speak our language, like we've in Peru, we're setting them, you know, perfecto. Do you remember in Russia? We've been setting them there too.
Yeah, but like the drilling industry and a lot of the drilling companies, they're all very proud of their own experience and how. They know better than everyone else, and basically they'll take off on their own mission and say, right, okay, I can do this or whatever. And next thing, something is not sure and they come back. The technical support is there to help and experience because I'm a driller myself. So I designed this purely for drilling, so that for drillers, so that it's very simple to install and not too complicated to drill past. And it's very simple. It's a simple piece of equipment. Once you know, you use it. And we have multiple end users now that will never go back. They'll always come to us, and that, you know, is great. But our biggest problem, I suppose, up to now was capacity, trying to deal with the demand for it. So we're expanding the whole time. We have a very good manufacturer on board with us, and he has made massive investments and to cater for the demand for him, you know. And it's great. It's, you know, we're a little backwater in Ireland, so we produce a product that's going all over the world. We're in South America, the Americas, Russia, Africa, gone down to Australia. So it's traveling far afield, you know, at this stage, you know, this product, you know. So it's good.
Starting to get more people reach, you know, because you know, you mentioned marketing, a lot of that is reaching out. Are you starting to get more people now saying, hey, I heard about this? Because it's a big industry and a very small industry. I'm sure you know drillers all over the world.
You know,
are they starting to sort of talk a little bit?
Yeah. Most anyone that's doing wedging, they've approached us and they've had a good look at our technology. So they go and they do their cost analysis and they see whether it's a good fit for them or not. But you know, if you're a major drilling company and you're running multiple rigs and you're doing deep hole setups with directional drilling, like you really should be stocking this product in your yard or at your sites. And our tool is the best tool in the market for a borehole recovery. So if you get your rod stuck or you drill into a void, you know, we can get you drilling in 6 to 8 hours again. But
the most important thing where a lot of companies get caught out is that they don't stock. Mm. And usually it's a problem. And next thing is, what do we do? They have a problem right. on the borehole. We need a wedge. Mm. And because they don't stock them, it costs them twice as much, three times as much in waiting time or whatever. So that's a big issue that people need to kind of change the mindset. We're actually drilling up in Scandinavia and we're drilling PQ and HQ up there. But we will ship a PQ and HQ wedges on site, regardless whether they're needed or not, because it takes so long to get there. Right. So it is just complete backup support. You need to be organized. You need to be structured. And it's so important. So it's a get out of trouble piece of equipment as well. And you get out of trouble quick.
Right.
But like, people look at the cost initially and say, oh, no, it's too expensive or whatever. But downtime is the big cost on the drill rig. You know, you can't afford to have crews down, you know. And mishaps, I'll be polite about them. We'll call them mishaps. Happen in drilling all the time. Happens down boreholes. Things get stuck. Things get cut. Obstacles come in the way, you know. So it does happen, you know.
It's something that I want just quickly touch, just circle back to, because I saw it in the case studies. And I think we've kind of touched on it, so I don't know if we have to go into specific case studies. But in one of the case studies, in what you mentioned earlier, was the different the different layers that they're going through, and the different now I'm butchering it, I'll let you fix it, but basically
different ground conditions you're talking about.
Yes. But you're also, so that's going from soft to hard, and all these different ground conditions you're going into.
Yeah.
So it fixes that problem, but it also, can you just touch on a little bit, you said in, like, I think you mentioned in granite, it also fixes that problem. And I was just trying to distinguish why it fixes both of them.
Right. I'll explain that to you. Your normal wedge is a mild steel for manufacturing purposes. It's mild steel. Mm. So it is good in your sedimentaries, your limestones and all those type of rocks, because they're generally a soft rock, right? Okay. So it can, your drill bit can drill off. It'll, you know, take some shavings off the wedge or whatever, but you can drill off successfully quite easily into a new borehole. But when you're dealing in extreme hard granites, that's a different ball game, because the rock is so hard. It's so hard in comparison to your mild steel, is that you will tend to cut into your steel and run into problems. And if you cut into your wedge too much, you can deform the wedge in the hole. You can deform the steel. So next thing, it can become an obstacle in the hole. But we have case hardened these wedges now to deal with those conditions. To give you a small bit of history, if you look at these guys, these are the different anchors we use, right? And this is the initially for soft rock. These guys are for more harder rock. They're steel tipped. But this is oil and gas grade steel. These are really expensive guys. But these guys bury themselves into extreme hard granite. So we can adapt and change these anchors as we please to the different ground conditions with the wedges. So it's so important that you're able to adapt and change to different ground conditions. Most people won't be aware that you can actually get different grades of steel to deal with the different formations you're drilling. Mm. But we adapt and do that. And it's all out of experience. We're learning the hard way in priority drilling. We're dealing with first-hand experience down a borehole.
Yeah, that's all the difference, is that you are the drillers. And
we are the drillers, and that experience is vital to us, you know, to adapt a product, you know, because you can be selling a product out the door and not know what kind of issues drillers do encounter down boreholes, you know?
And Corey, I just want to leave just with a couple quick questions about, again, the business development side.
Yes.
One is manufacturing and availability. You said about people should stock it. Is it available for distribution, you know, globally? Is it readily available? If, you know, what kind of lead times are, if there are lead times?
Yes, we have a global supply chain. So we use some distributors in certain continents. So if you want a wedge, we can make one available to you instantly, and we can air freight it to you. So there are wedges available at any time, and there's no real lead time.
Yeah.
I just wanted to quickly ask, it's sort of the last question, is just the timing seems right for this. Again, another one of the case studies I was reading through last night said that one of the main advantages was, like, you were drilling in an agriculture area, or the client was. I'm not sure if it was Priority or another company, but they were drilling in a high agriculture area. And this allowed you to do the exploration and the drilling without as much disruption, without as much moving the drill from the original.
We have some very funny stories associated with that and clients, because in Ireland, you're never too far away from a dwelling house. It's fairly well populated out the country. And when you're dealing with farmers in Ireland where land is so precious, you have to be very sensitive to their needs.
Right.
And the client as well would loves to have a good working relationship, and it's all PR in the mining industry, you know, because you have so many issues there. So we have set up and boreholes, and we one particular story way back in the late 90s, where one particular farmer didn't want us on their land, and the client asked us to set up a drill right next to the boundary fence. And I remember well, we drilled the first vertical borehole, and there wasn't much mineral in it, not a whole lot. And the head geologist said to me, we'll steer out in this particular direction and just see under your man's land, because he's not very nice. He's not very cooperative. So basically we went out underneath his land, and I remember about 8 degrees off vertical. And next thing, we hit a massive vein of ore. And next thing, the head geologist said to me, I wasn't expecting this. I think that's only a narrow band, but we'll go again. And we did a daughter hole, granddaughter hole, great granddaughter hole. So we went the whole way out to 40 degrees, about 800 meters out into his land. And it got better and better the whole way out. And the farmer was quite old at the time, and they couldn't figure out how the heck we were such bad drillers. The drill was in the same spot for 2 years, and he couldn't figure out what the heck was going on with the drill. How was it taking him so long to drill a hole? In actual fact, we had multiple holes drilled all out underneath the property.
Hundreds of meters down.
What's that?
Hundreds of meters down and across.
100 meters down and a way out, and we did a complete circumference. We'd come back up into the mother hole, change the azimuth slightly, off down we go, do a sequence of daughter, granddaughter, great granddaughter holes off out in that direction, and it was amazing, the results. And we've had up on 50 wedges installed in some boreholes with some clients. We've had drill rigs sitting in the same spot for nearly 10 years. Well, and that's a record in Tara mines in Ireland.
I have to ask, Michael, though, how much faster would have that project been if you had had the wedge you're using now?
But like going back to that story of sitting up on the border or on the boundary of that particular farm, it might never have been found because the initial mother hole that was down straight, there was very little, nothing in it. We could have quite easily moved off and say, oh, we can't get access to that land or whatever. Yeah. The farmer is a bit troublesome or whatever. We could have moved off. And only for wedging and directional drilling, it was amazing what was found, you know?
Right.
So it's a good story, and it's back in Ireland, one of the mines in Ireland, you know? So we have first-hand experience of all that, you know?
Yeah, I was just wondering, though, that project particular, how if you were to take the zero-trip wedge and do that same project that you were doing in the 90s, would it be 80% quicker, 30%?
We had another client, and they did an analysis at the end of the year. And we had about 14 rigs on site wedging. And over the year, comparison to what was happening previous, we saved them 180 days in wedging alone. 180 days. It was crazy when we actually got the facts at the end of the year in comparison to what it took to install the traditional wedge. Can you imagine 180 days? And the big issue that Priority Drilling has found is that we have a lot less incidents and accidents where your people getting injured, hand injuries, or, you know, tripping and falling, tripping rods in and out of the hole. And the big issue is wear and tear on equipment. That is a hidden cost that a lot of companies don't see, is the actual saving they're making. And we're finding it big time. They're saving on machinery. The fitters, that's the first thing they come up with. They don't have the same issues, wear and tear on equipment, you know? And that's a big cost. And it's a hidden cost that a lot of companies don't see in the practices they're currently doing without the zero trip wedge, you know?
I'm glad you touched on the safety and the equipment wear. I mean, gentlemen, I'm going to have to leave it there. This, when you've got a topic like this, it doesn't feel, you know, people sometimes hear that they're going to do an interview for 40 minutes and they go, how are we going to fill it? And then at about the 38-minute mark, they realize they need about 38 more minutes. So I'm sorry to end it there, but because there's a lot. I mean, we could talk about the safety. We could talk about the wear and tear. We could use other case study. I mean, we could be doing three more episodes with you. Certainly hope you both come back on. There's lots more to talk about, but we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much. Hope we do it again.
Thank you for your time. Much appreciated. Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for watching. Kate, there's the Zero Trip website. It's zero-trip.com. That's going to be in the description. You should go check that out. They also have, I think they have, it's not in front of me. I think they have a YouTube channel. Let me double check that. Yes,
yes, we do.
We're going to drop that. I'm going to drop that link in there as well. So go check out their YouTube. It gives you a really, anything we couldn't get in this episode, it'll give you a really good visual. This is obviously an important thing for the drilling industry, so we want to share it. If you've used it, let us know, let them know. And we'll also have connections to both guests. If they have LinkedIn, we'll put their link to them as well. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We hope to have Zero Trip back on the show. It was great to have them, great to learn, and we will see you on the next episode of Mining Now.